let me just say a huge VMware welcome. Thank you, and we're excited to have Cloud Health join the VMware team. You know, yesterday, actually completing the transaction, the excitement from the VMworld announcement of the acquisition, you know, just the energy and the passion that's been able to come forward. It's been thrilling, and I just want to add my welcome. Joe, the entire Cloud Health team, welcome to Team VMware.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 94. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and John's out this week, but joining us is VMware's very own Jad Alzine. Jad, how you doing, man?
Hey, good morning or afternoon. Pete, doing great, having a great week, and looking forward to our conversation today.
That's always the tricky part about a podcast, right? Somebody could be listening to this at 2 in the morning, you know? So yeah, I always choose, hey, it's good afternoon because it's afternoon somewhere, so we stick with that.
Exactly.
So, Jad, I'm glad you were able to join us. I wanted you to join this podcast specifically because of the content. And, you know, there's a big announcement at VMworld around this acquisition, which is super exciting. And so I felt you would be the perfect person to join since you are Mr. All Things Cloud, Mr. All Things VRA. But, you know, All Things Cloud Management, I think, would be a good description of you. Fair?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and again, I appreciate the invite. There were several really great announcements at VMworld, and one that that was a big noisemaker was the acquisition of Cloud Health.
Yes.
And happens to be the topic of today, right?
Yeah, that was a crazy day. Pat Gelsinger, first he announces his badass tattoo and shows everyone that he's, you know, he's this crazy CEO. Then, you know, Project Hatchway, you know, VMware, AWS's RDS, I mean, support for ARM. I mean, that it seemed like that general session was just filled and jam-packed. And then on the very end of it, oh, and by the way, we made this awesome acquisition of Cloud Health Technologies. I mean, that was one of the best general sessions ever.
And don't forget Project Magna, our AI ML approach to next-gen cloud management, which all of this plays into. So yes.
Absolutely.
Super exciting stuff, yeah.
And speaking of that announcement, here is Pat Gelsinger talking about Cloud Health.
And we're seeing in our customers that a new role is emerging, the cloud operations role. You know, the person who's figuring out how to make these multi-cloud environments work and keep track of, you know, who's using what and which data is landing where. Today, I'm thrilled to tell you that VMware is acquiring the leader in this space, Cloud Health Technologies. Cloud Health Technologies supports today Amazon, Azure, and Google. They have some 3,500 customers, some of the largest and most respected brands in the as-a-service industry and SaaS business today, rapidly expanding feature sets. We will take Cloud Health, and we're going to make it a fundamental platform and branded offering from VMware. We will add many of the other VMware components into this platform, such as our Wavefront Analytics, our Cloud Corio Compliance, and many of the other VMware products will become part of the Cloud Health suite of services. We will be enabling that through our enterprise channels, as well as through our MSP and VCPP partners as well. You know, simply put, we will make Cloud Health the cloud operations platform of choice for the industry.
Yeah, so what an announcement. And joining us for this podcast, Jad, pretty excited, is the actual founder and CTO of Cloud Health Technologies, Mr. Joe Kinsella. Joe, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Pete. Great to be here. Appreciate you spending some time this afternoon to chat with me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So first things first, I know that Cloud Health Technologies is a Boston company, so let's get this out of the way. Red Sox fan?
Hardcore Red Sox fan.
Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for coming. No, I'm just kidding. Only kidding. It seems like every guest we have is either a Patriots fan or a Red Sox fan. I can't escape those champions. I'll say it. We'll just keep it at that.
Well, you know, I'm smart enough to realize that you don't mention the Patriots outside of New England, so yeah. I just stick with the Red Sox.
Fair play. So, Joe, I'm super excited about talking to you today. I mean, Cloud Health Technologies is a pretty amazing acquisition for VMware, but it's an interesting play. The whole multi-cloud platform. It was one that, you know, was kind of curious to me. You know, years back, I was in storage and I saw some companies try to advertise ways to migrate between clouds. And I always had this thought, like, is that a thing? Are people doing that? Do people really care about having a multi-cloud strategy? I would assume, you know, you get all your data into, you know, one cloud, and then you've got your on-premises, and then you have your on-cloud. So what made you think, you know, way back when you first started this, you know, six or however many years ago, when you first started to come up with Cloud Health, that there would be this need for a multi-cloud strategy?
Sure. I mean, I had the benefit of, I was an expert in two areas at the time I founded the company. The first was I was an expert in IT management. It's a market that I've spent almost 20 years actually in. And in addition to that, I was an expert in cloud computing. So I actually had built one of the larger public cloud deployments in the world back in the 2010-2011 timeframe, and took a very complex business service and it ended up spanning it across four public clouds. And in the process, just realized that this was incredibly complex and was going to be need tooling and services to be able to support that type of transformation. But if you delivered upon it, it unleashed just this incredible innovation to businesses that were willing to take that leap and go multi-cloud.
So the complexity was the main gap that you saw. That was the missing piece, was just that managing of that. Was it just the managing of the cloud, you know, migrating of the clouds, or just the management in general, the cost model?
It was everything, which is, if you look, the nature of how you build applications and business services in the cloud is fundamentally different than how we built them pre-cloud. So the first change is just the pace of change, which is cloud business services run 4 to 5 orders of magnitude faster than the equivalent business service pre-cloud. And by that, what I mean is it's very common for an application in the cloud to see 4,000 to 5,000 configuration changes per day, or 40,000 to 50,000 changes per day that could impact your security or your costs. That same business service a decade ago was seeing 4 to 5 changes per day that could potentially impact cost or security. And so that 4 to 5 order of magnitude increase in change is just a seismic disruption in terms of how we actually manage business services and applications. And that's what I set out to solve, is to build a platform that made that not only possible, but allowed that to be just the norm of how you actually operated your business.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think one critical factor here is, you notice in the last couple of years, and anybody who listens to your podcast regularly knows VMware historically as, well, let's just review, right? We came up with a data center OS. Then we introduced this concept of the SDDC.
Yep.
Then we started talking about the public cloud, and then it became a hybrid cloud. But as if you've been tracking in the last couple of years, it's really been multi-cloud. And I think Pat mentions it, Joe's mentioned it, it's in all of our our outbound communications, is this multi-cloud and how critical that is. Ask analysts, ask our customers, ask the largest enterprises or the MSPs in the world, the service providers, and they will tell you that multi-cloud is the only way to go. Included in that multi-cloud, of course, is the hybrid cloud. It's the, you know, the cross-cloud common platform. Again, another big VMware play. But the biggest problem with all of this is, as we adopted the multi-cloud and the hybrid cloud and all these services, another major component that we as VMware has put out there is this concept of rogue IT. It's the inability of the private cloud providers to provide the same exact services as the public cloud providers did. So what the line of business did is go straight to that public cloud. And ultimately, you'd end up in a multi-cloud type of scenario, but you'd lose a lot of the visibility. And one of the things I've continued to put out there, and one of the things that Cloud Health brings incredibly well to the market, is visibility across all of your workloads, across all the clouds. And if the enterprises and your consumers and the line of businesses and the folks who are out there doing this we'll call it rogue IT, if you remember that,
yeah.
Start gaining the visibility into the data, into the cost, into the operational aspects of multi-cloud, it actually accelerates the effort. And from a VMware perspective, I think this was a big, big, huge win for us to add the cloud health portfolio and managed services into everything else we do, from ops to automation to visibility of the underlying infrastructure. And sure, we've always had this cost aspect, but we've never had the real business intelligence that cloud health brings to market. So that was my setup to ask Joe this next question. From that business intelligence component, Joe, I know cost management and cost visibility plays a huge role in the adoption of multi-cloud, as well as the adoption of these solutions themselves. Where have you seen the greatest emphasis when you speak to your MSPs or speak to the customers? Where have they seen the greatest value from a business intelligence or cost intelligence perspective that helped them bring in the line of business and draw or accelerate projects that were otherwise rogue or taking your bottom line way out of whack, et cetera? If that was a really long way of asking, where have the customers really seen the greatest amount of value in bringing all of this together with visibility into that data?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I think what we've seen across our customers is there's effectively this we call it a maturity model, which is customers, when they first start engaging in the cloud and first start trying to innovate in the cloud, the first challenge they confront as they start to scale is a cost management challenge. And, typically a way a customer will see this is costs are, far above what they planned, or they actually couldn't project costs. And so they're just, month by month being surprised by the growth of spend in the public cloud. And often this is coupled with the fact that someone in the business has sold this vision of, we're going to move from data centers into the public cloud and everything's going to get cheaper. And instead, you're still paying for the data centers and you are actually spending more in the public cloud. So that's typically where customers start. As they start to mature and they gain visibility across their portfolio of cloud products they're using, and they start to really get some basic understanding of costs and align their costs from a business perspective and start to optimize it, what we see next is the next value customers tend to get is around security compliance. And this is the challenge that you have in the cloud is because of, as you mentioned, it's decentralized in its adoption. So it's very common for an enterprise to have 1,000 different places across the enterprise where the cloud is being used. That's 1,000 places where someone could go make a change and has the authority to make a change that could impact your security or could put you on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. So security compliance and just being able to keep pace with the cloud is pivotal. As companies mature, oftentimes this is called a cloud center of excellence, and they start to get costs under control and security compliance. Next, we see governance is the next big push, which is just this move from a reactive model in which many customers live today, where they're just constantly, they're looking at dashboards and they're trying to make decisions and they're running reports, to a model in which they try to standardize reference architectures and try to make it so that from provisioning all through the life cycle of business services and applications and infrastructure, it remains in an optimized state. And then kind of the ultimate goal, and this is something I achieved in my previous life as I went multi-cloud, and built a fairly complex business service that had thousands of cores of compute and petabytes of storage back in the very early days of the cloud, is to get what we call service integration. And this is where you just wire this into the workflow of your business, and you've automated your optimum states, and you just get to a point where you're able to move at a pace and agility and drive the level of innovation at a sustained way that you never could in a pre-cloud world, because you've made everything proactive and wired into your service tickets and your incident management and kind of all the existing business processes you have.
Yeah, and you did touch on security risk management, and I think that's a critical one too. I spent myself 17 years in the U.S. public sector, aligned either as VMware or as the customer. And security risk assessment, I mean, those were some of the major reasons of why we wouldn't adopt cloud in the first place, right? But having the visibility into all of that, not just in the one platform I may choose this month, but multi-platform, I think that's a hugely critical one. And of course, governance comes into big play there. But another thing you mentioned in this visibility, consistency, right? Multi-cloud, how I do business locally, or how I do it in a public cloud or across multiple clouds. Today, and this is what something I see a lot from our customers, and our analysts are out there saying it as well, and we are still driving solutions towards fixing this problem. What typically happens is that I adopt Azure or I adopt GCP or vSphere on-prem or VMC or AWS or EC2, whatever it is. And what happens is I have governance for Cloud A and Cloud B, and I have different processes for Cloud C and Cloud N, right? And what happens is while I have all the tool sets of the individual cloud services that maybe the cloud service itself provides or maybe a niche product provides, I lack the visibility across the board. And until I have that visibility of common, consistent operations across all my applications, where it all just becomes a huge blob of resources that I could manage consistently and cost and make decisions based on that, I'm going to end up adding unnecessary risk to the environment, right? Unnecessary costs, unnecessary gaps in skills, and those types of things. So that consistency, can you just spend a little bit of time on how Cloud Health gives me that consistent dashboard of my entire cloud world and how that helps accelerate the customers as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say there's one misconception I think a lot of people have when they think of multi-cloud is that today the most common use of multi-cloud is you've got different business services that are only running in one single target cloud environment.
Yeah.
And the simple truth is that there's not a lot of arbitrage that's still occurring even in 2018 across environments. There's some and it's increasing. But the challenge is that once you have multiple environments, you're managing a portfolio of business services across a portfolio of different cloud environments. And just being able to see your costs aligned to a department and line of business and team, and being able to see the resources you're running and have everything standardized so that you can both look at it at a high level from a business perspective, but also still be able to go into all the richness of a single cloud and see all the details within that single cloud environment is pivotal today. And so, so today, if there's kind of one thing that I think is paramount for most CIOs, which is when I talk to a Fortune 500 CIO, I always like to end with just this just completely open-ended question of, what are the biggest challenges that you have managing this complex multi-cloud portfolio that you have? And then I've trained myself to just be quiet and listen. And invariably, as they start to talk, the word governance will almost always come up. And the reason is that they realize they are taking on an enormous amount of business risk by nature of the fact that the management of the cloud is highly decentralized across their organization. And so there's thousands of points of risks that they have adopted. And so being able to standardize that in a way where you can see it from a business perspective, you can control it from a business perspective without losing all of the agility and innovation that brought you to the cloud in the first place, and without putting too much overhead and structure in place, is very powerful and is essential to the success of any cloud strategy across an enterprise.
Well, that's just it, right? I think the major attraction to the cloud initially was, simplicity and cost. I remember, the days of trying to get a lab environment from one of my previous companies was, no thanks, I'll just go spin up an EC2 instance and I've got my dev environment and I'm on my way to testing and I can get rid of it when I'm done with it. And that was simple and it was cheap and it was dependable. But, that's a very small example, but as companies start to grow, it seems like if you start to adopt a multi-cloud strategy, you're going to find yourself having a much more complex way. And as Jad pointed out, it's going to be, there's a little bit of risk there because of the fact that you really don't have a central way to see exactly what you're spending, but what you're missing. And so having everything in one location seems like a perfect solution. So does Cloud Health give you the ability, if I'm managing Azure, Google, and AWS, I can manage all of my cloud resources from one interface? Is that exactly what Cloud Health does?
That is exactly what we do. And not only do we do that across your organization, we bring it all the way down to the team and down to the line of business and down to the department. And so you can think of it as across the entire hierarchy of the organization, you can have any team, any person who has who's engaging with the public cloud log in and have complete unified cross-cloud access to everything that matters to them and their day-to-day activities. And so it's powerful. It just puts the control of the cloud back in the hands of the people that actually want to deliver value every day for the business, but at the same time gives you the good due care that you need to actually deliver business services at scale across enterprises with you know, multiple billion-dollar brands at stake. And so that's what we do. And I launched the company in 2012. It's been a tremendous journey to get here. And I'll tell you, we're really excited to have found our home in VMware, and we're looking forward to what we actually do together.
So 2012, AWS was pretty strong. Azure probably just stood up its first data center. What was what was going on in 2012 that made this look like a good idea?
Well, I'll be honest, which is I tried to start the company in 2010. And I went into the Boston area and I talked to investors, and I found out that investors thought this was a really, really bad idea in 2010. And so in 2012, I just decided, you know, I'm just going to do this anyway. And I went back out into the market and found out that they just thought it was a bad idea. So I figured I had made incredible progress in 2 years. So I was on the right path. And
I like that.
Yeah. So here's a big one, I think, is one of the major values I find in all of this. Is we've been talking so far about all the data, all the visibility and everything we can gain and how that can help validate and accelerate projects. But with all of that data, more than just looking at it and reading it and validating our business initiatives and efforts and making all the right decisions, we also want to be able to leverage that data in real time. And I'm sort of setting up where we're going as the cloud management BU inside of VMware. Now, Pete, and anybody listening to this, imagine if you had all this data that Cloud Health will provide to you, everything from your resource consumption to the operational aspects of the Cloud Health and the multi-cloud world, the risk assessments and the governance and all these different controls, and of course, the cost and the pricing and everything that you're using to run your business, and then being able to make real-time decisions. Now, how can I refer back to this data as I'm provisioning an app, for example? How do I know if it's smart to deploy a Kubernetes cluster in AWS versus a VM in a test phase on VMC, or Kubernetes in some other platform, right? Or just simple Docker container throughout the entire lifecycle? How do I know how to optimize my pipelines and when and where to deliver applications and update them? So if you could imagine where we're going with all of this, with some of the other announcements we made at VMworld, such as Cloud Assembly and our whole cloud automation portfolio, when you bring something like Cloud Health into that mix, and you start tying into those other conversations we've been having of the self-driving data center, as well as our AI and ML initiatives and cloud automation, this becomes a significant driver for what's next in this world, right? So I have to take the person out of the mix, bring the data and the intelligence that Cloud Health brings in there and the automation that CAS adds to the mix and all the governance tied into it, you've got basically a self-driving operation. And that's the part that I'm most excited about. And another huge strategic purpose for Cloud Health as part of that portfolio. So that's, to me, one of the most exciting pieces of all of this is what we can do with all of this once it's harvested.
No, I completely agree with that, which is I actually think we're at the very beginning of a long journey that's going to fundamentally transform how we engage with technology to deliver business outcomes. And we've spent 3 decades now where the model has been with people in the center and labor applied to hardware and software to go make those business outcomes a reality. The future will look very different. The future will be more declared intent. It will be more about, I'm interested in having a CRM business service, and here's the SLA I need, and here's the security I need to have. Here's how I need to manage data sovereignty, or here's the budget that I need to maintain. And you'll be able to declare what your intent is in the future, and then the underlying execution of that will actually be smart software. Because we're just entering this phase where the combination of the pace of change of the cloud with the incredible complexity of just the richness of the different services and underlying fabric that you can put together to deliver business outcomes is it's right on the cusp of exceeding the capacity of humans to actually be in the middle of it anymore. And so, So the next phase of the cloud will not just benefit from, it'll actually necessitate a fundamental change in terms of how we approach management.
That sounds pretty exciting. Well, Pat shared a little bit of some of the roadmap that he thinks that you guys are going to be moving forward with as you work with VMware and as you start to expand your portfolio. Is there anything that you can share with us about what you guys are looking at now that you're part of the VMware family? Is there something specific to VMware that's going to enhance the Cloud Health offering?
Yeah, let me start with something that isn't changing, which is actually one of the reasons why I was so attracted to the opportunity at VMware, which is one of the things that we pride ourselves on is we care about what our customers care about, which is if our customers care about a particular application performance management tool, or they care about a particular log management, or they care about a particular public or private cloud, then we care about it because that's what they manage day to day. That's the complexity that they're trying to control. And therefore, cloud health has to be part of solving that for them.
Sure.
And so one of the things I just really appreciated about just the VMware approach is first and foremost, you know, keep an open ecosystem approach. And so certainly we're going to go do that. But that said, there's some tremendous opportunities across the VMware ecosystem. If you just look, VMware and cloud health are almost like distant cousins, which is VMware really was the primary infrastructure provider that completely transformed the data center. And they were by far the market leader. Now, we were in a much earlier market when the acquisition was done, but we were born in the cloud. Our singular mission was to transform and disrupt the complexity that was occurring in the public cloud. And so the combination of the two is quite strong. We're particularly excited, I'll tell you, about what we can do inside the data center from a cost management, from a governance perspective, you know, all the way to provisioning and orchestration in terms of what the portfolio of VMware offers to cloud health. But we're also excited about some of the newer initiatives that have been discussed, like VKE as Wavefront, Secure State, lots of really interesting opportunities for us to bring net new value that our customers have been asking for us for years. So we're hoping that we have a 1+1=3 opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like you got 500 million reasons why you're valuable to VMware. So I'm excited to see what happens with cloud health and VMware.
Yeah, we are as well. I'll tell you, this has been just an incredibly well done integration plan that's been laid out in front of us, in just terms of how VMware has executed this at every phase. So my team and my company is just excited to be part of the family, and we're looking forward to doing great things for our joint customers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I heard you. I either read it or I heard I was doing a little research, and I saw you mention something that I thought was really good. You said something to the effect of what cloud health means to partners. And you said something to the effect of the cloud is the single greatest threat and opportunity for partners. And the difference between which you experience is whether or not you can actually figure how to harness this disruptive potential of the cloud.
Yes.
And I thought that was really awesome. Like that's it right there, right? Partners mm-hmm. need to be able to embrace technology like cloud health, and if they do, it can be their best friend. If not, it's going to be their enemy.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And in fact, most people don't realize that this acquisition started 18 months before with an opportunity around us adding value to your partner ecosystem. And the reason why we were so keenly interested in that is there's going to be more revenue generated in the cloud through partners and MSPs over time than there will be from public cloud providers. And so the ability for these MSPs to fundamentally transform their customers' success in the cloud will be the difference between their success and failure, but it will also be the difference between whether or not the cloud actually can continue to sustain this incredible level of complexity that we've unleashed, and just this incredible innovation we're seeing that is resulting in, you know, dozens of new incredible innovations being announced per day in the cloud. You need a strong technology partners, and you need strong service partners to be successful in the cloud today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put it this way: before VMworld, when the chit chat in the BU was happening, and we're thinking of, you know, whether you had the privilege of knowing what was happening at the business level or not, there was a handful of acquisitions and or partnerships, if those were on the table as well, that sure. would truly transform our portfolio and help us execute what we've been promising. And I think we nailed it with cloud health. I personally was so excited when I found out from my boss that was the direction we were going, and I just couldn't wait for the word to get out there. So I'm a big fan. I'm looking forward to what it's going to do to our fundamental capabilities, our portfolio, the work that we've been doing in cloud automation, and you know, everything that it's going to impact: network insight, log insight, cost insight, our entire SaaS portfolio, but cloud automation and cloud agnostic application provisioning. plays a role in every single one of those things. And I think this was just, I'll be perfectly transparent here, a huge gap that's been very nicely filled, and so excited to see what happens next, and excited for our customers as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Thank you for the kind words, about the acquisition and us joining VMware. We're equally as excited. We actually think together we're going to do some great things. So looking forward to getting it started. I'm 2 weeks on the other side of the acquisition, and I'm looking forward to what the next year brings for us.
Great. Well, are you going to VMworld Barcelona? Because maybe we can get a progress report by then. See if everything's done already.
I would be happy to give you a progress report. In fact, you might see something at VMware Barcelona.
I like that little hint there. That's beautiful. Very nice. Well, great. Jad, thank you so much for joining with us. For those of you that don't know Jad, he is he's a ninja when it comes to blogging, anything automation. He's at virtualjad.com. He's also on Twitter at virtualjad. And Cloud Health is all over VMware.com now, so I don't even have to give any personal blogs there. But Joe, Jad, thank you both for sharing this information on Cloud Health Technologies. I think, like you said, this is probably one of the most exciting acquisitions I've seen in a very long time. So very, very good stuff.
Thank you both.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Joe Kinsella for giving us the good news of Cloud Health. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.